We now turn to the intention to create legally binding relations. So where the parties have not expressly denied an intention to create legally binding relations, what matters is not what the parties had in their minds, but the inferences that reasonable people would draw from their words or conduct. That is, it is an objective test. In Carlyle and Carbolic Smokeball Company, 1893, the decision in this case might have been different if there had not been any deposit of money to show sincerity. So, to determine whether there is a contract or not, one has to look at the type of arrangement. Is this a commercial arrangement? Is it a domestic arrangement? Now, agreements subject to contract, where there is a commercial agreement, it is presumed the parties intend to create legal relations. However, if the parties expressly deny intention by stating that negotiations are subject to contract or that any agreement is to be binding in honor only, then there is no contract. In Jones and Vernon Pools, 1938, the plaintiff claimed that he had sent the defendant a football coupon on which the draws he had predicted entitled him to a dividend. The defendant denied having received the coupon. They relied on a clause printed on the coupon which stated that the transaction should not give rise to any legal relationship but be binding in honor only. It was held that this clause was a bar to an action in court. Comfort letters. If a person has an interest in credit being allowed to another person, they may write a comfort letter to the lender encouraging an offer of credit. Depending on its wording, the comfort letter may amount to 1. A binding guarantee of the loan, 2. A legally binding agreement short of guarantee, or 3. No agreement at all. In Kleinworth, Benson and Malaysia Mining Corporation, Berhad, 1989, a holding company, defendant refused to guarantee a new loan by the plaintiff to one of its subsidiaries, S. D, however, wrote to the plaintiff stating that it's our policy to ensure that the business, its subsidiary, is at all times in a position to meet its liabilities. S later became insolvent and was unable to pay the bank. It was held that since the defendant had refused to give a guarantee, the comfort letter did not amount to a contract, but was only a statement of the defendant's policy. Domestic arrangements. Where there is a domestic agreement, the presumption is that legal relations are not intended. For example, if a married couple in a married couple, an agreement by one spouse to pay the other £50 per week housekeeping money. However, it is possible for a spouse to make a binding contract with the other, for example, as part of a separation agreement. In Merit and Merit, 1970, a husband left his wife and when pressed by her to make arrangements for the future, agreed that if she would pay the outstanding mortgage installments, he would, when all the payments had been made, transfer the house into her name. It was held that there was a binding contract since the presumption that legal relations are not intended does not apply if husband and wife are separated or about to separate. Where adult members of a family other than husband and wife share a household, the financial arrangements which they make may well be intended to have contractual effect. In Parker and Clark, 1960, a young couple were induced to sell their house and move in with elderly relatives by the latter's promise to leave them a share of the home. It was held that legal effect was intended, otherwise the young couple would not have taken the important step of selling their home. An agreement between persons who share a household but which has nothing to do with the management of the household would probably be intended to be legally binding. In Simkiss and Pays, 1953, three ladies who lived in the same house took part in a fashion competition run by a newspaper. They agreed to send their entries on one coupon and to share any prize money. The court rejected the contention that the agreement to share was not intended to be legally binding, since the contract had nothing to do with the routine maintenance of the household. So in considering this business here of contract formation, one has to ask the question, what are the essential requirements for a legal offer? What is an invitation to treat? In what ways may an offer be terminated? What amounts to valid acceptance? What is consideration in a valid contract? And what is meant by the statement that for a valid contract to exist, there must be an intention to form a legally binding relationship? Once those questions can be answered, then you are well on your way to appreciating the contract formation process. Then the other element of contract formation is the capacity to contract. And by capacity, we really mean whether the person is of age, whether they are minor or they are an adult, whether they are of sound mind or they are of unsound mind. That is the capacity to contract, or whether they are in charge of themselves and their faculties, meaning whether they are sober or they are inebriated. And to the extent that they are inebriated, then they may be unable to have the requisite capacity to enter into a contractual relationship. So that is it in relation to the elements of contract formation. We move on to look at the content of the contract in our next session.